bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
We're on the countdown, 43 days until Rio. Are they ready?
Well, it depends in which aspect you're talking. I think
security clearly is an issue still.
Security is an issue, but you know, security is an issue everywhere. My grandma used to say that, you know, locks only keep out honest people. So I have security issues here in where I live. Mm. And I do think that if you're going to have all of the media focus on an individual and what somebody does in that country, you know, overall, is their security an issue? No, I don't think it's any greater than anybody else's issues.
And look, we've seen in the lead up to probably the game since Sydney, which was the best Olympics ever. We're seeing, you know, China, Beijing was never going to be ready, but then they were. Athens was never going to be ready, and we were going to have to shift it off back to Beijing, but they were. London was probably more ready than those two. Now we're seeing in Rio the suggestion that some of the venues aren't going to be ready, that the harbour is too murky for the sailing, that the Zika virus is about. How much should all that play into how we're thinking about our Olympians as they head off?
I think as an Olympian, my job was always to focus on preparation, you know, the preparation and training prior. And remember that the Olympics are one event every 4 years.
Yes.
So there's always other competitions to be going to. And you sort of, it's a case-by-case scenario. So you approach that Olympic Games. I didn't qualify for the 1994 Olympics, to which I was the flag bearer, yes, in Lillehammer, until 3 weeks prior to the start of the Olympic Games. I didn't qualify, like I hadn't actually made it. So I sort of look at that, and there's a lot that's still undecided for a lot of athletes, and nothing's a guarantee. And I think that you just have to wait and see. Even that great pressure of timelines and how that affects the delivery of the infrastructure, we can speed up enormously. Human beings are amazing in what we can accomplish.
Do you lock yourself down for that sort of 16 days and get glued to the television and worry about the time difference and what time you're going to eat meals and things?
Pete, there's no snow in Rio. Yeah. Okay, I do so that for the Winter Games.
You're not quite as obsessed as the rest of us.
I love the coverage, and there are obviously some events that I find more exciting. The older I get, the faster the event, the more interesting it seems to be.
Excellent.
I used to watch the marathon, and now I just watch the 100 metres. So there are the collective snapshot of what's happened in a 24-hour period and how the Australians have gone is probably my daily fill.
Mm. Let's move to AFL and the nonsense this week that was Eddie Maguire opening his mouth again. If you were in charge, what would you do?
Well, that's an interesting question. I had a bit of a discussion with my father, and when I say discussion, I'm using the inverted commas, about 6 months ago, because he had said something in my presence to somebody else, and I took offence on behalf of them. And he said, oh, you're thick enough, get a thicker skin. And I said, no, that's a 1975's attitude. It's not to say that somebody's response should be that they need to thicken, you know, get thicker skin and toughen up. It should be that you should understand that it is a different environment here in this time and day. So I look at that and I think, what would I have done? I think that the response is quite complex. I think that the whole situation is quite complex. But at the end of the day, do I want the situation to be vastly improved in many different ways? And we are here talking about equality and transparency in our communities and what it is that we want to be able to accept. Even in that situation, it is a 1980s, 1970s attitude. Do I think that those words caused a great deal of pain to Caroline? I think there's a lot of history between those players.
Yes, indeed.
But do I think it's acceptable? No, I don't.
Absolutely
not at all. And if I said something like that jokingly about a friend to their face, then they would find that funny. But the problem was that there was too much history. They aren't friends. And it was in a highly publicised environment to which people who don't understand any context are exposed to. And it's not an acceptable attitude.
Eddie Maguire and James Brayshaw and Danny Frawley all being exposed as bullies.
I think we like to put people into nice boxes. Little boxes, and we say they're bullies. Do I think Eddie Maguire is a backward-thinking Neanderthal? Not at all. He has done some extraordinary things in even having the AFL Women's League being embraced and promoted, and you know, the women's issues, whether it be you know, pink footballs. I don't care. That man has been responsible for an enormous amount of positive situations, and this is just something that highlights that. For all of us flawed human beings, there is a yin and a yang, and there is nobody in a glass house that should be throwing a stone saying he is a bully. What he has done is behave badly in that situation, but I think the man himself is quite separate to that individual situation.
How are your Tigers going, Del?
How are your Tigers going?
My Kangaroos should have won a game in Adelaide a couple of nights ago, but, you know, significant injuries, 6-day turnaround, up against a team at home that had just had a 9-day turnaround or had a bye. We didn't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning that game of football, but we remain fourth on the ladder. Guys have the Lions today. I'm assuming you're...
Tomorrow I'm goal umpire for my daughter's Richmond Junior Football League game, and my entire focus has been on that for the last few weeks. So I'm not really. I'm hoping that the Richmond Tigers tomorrow win, but they were actually thrashed about 150 to nothing last week, so I'm not holding out hope.
We'll go through the rest of the. Yes. You up for a bit of footy tipping?
Absolutely.
So obviously we saw Collingwood have a win last night against Frio. Not a hard team to beat as the season goes. Let's not talk about Thursday night. Richmond, Brisbane today at the G. I think I can determine where your vote's going on that one.
Yes, I would think so.
GWS and Carlton play this afternoon.
I'm going to go Carlton.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Against GWS?
Yes, I know.
Ooh,
because I like the underdog. Yeah, just
fair enough.
Pull it out.
St Kilda Geelong playing at Docklands Stadium tonight.
Geelong.
That was fairly definitive. And the last game of the round, because it's a split round, of course, Hawthorn, the Gold Coast at Aurora Stadium in Launceston tomorrow.
I'm Hawthorn. I'd say Hawthorn.
Yeah, you'd be hard-picked.
Yeah.
Hard-pressed not to choose them, which will, if Geelong win and Hawthorn win, that will take both of them to the top of the ladder, probably Geelong with a much bigger percentage. Sydney dropped to third and North remain in fourth. If GWS win, North could drop quite... We could go down to seventh. Over the next couple of weeks without bye.
I think the thing that I'm seeing also this year in the whole ladder situation is the volatility, that great teams can have a bad game. And it's not as secure as it. You know, you've had seasons in the past where it's just a sure thing.
Yeah.
But no, there's been some pretty exciting close games and losses. And so it's like politics. It's anybody's.
Anybody's game. And finally, in sport, the Women's AFL announced, we did a bit of a discussion last week about it. I'm assuming that you're very excited to see a competition with 8 female teams.
Well, my daughter's just started playing this year. She is 5'10", a 13-year-old, plays ruck. And I know. Yeah. No, seriously, I gave birth to it. It's the breastfeeding one. It's extraordinary. I walk down the street and people don't even think we're related. But she is loving football. And what's interesting is the number of girls. They had to create a second team, Richmond Junior Football Club, because of its popularity. The girls come from our netball teams, our basketball teams, and, you know, the cricket teams. It is a really unified sport for our local community. And the atmosphere is just terrific. The volunteers are making it. As I said, tomorrow I'm goal umpire again, which I just love. But it is a rapidly, rapidly growing sport.
Mm. It's interesting, the pathways into women's sport that are being created. I just would like to see that at some point there's going to be some parity around the amount of money invested into the women's game as there is in the men's.
And actually, even the fact that the Richmond Football Club have a junior football club, which is Citizens Oval. I don't know if you know, just on Church Street and near Bridge Road. Very under... funded in terms of its facilities, given the incredible use that it has by so many different groups. And we've got the MIPS girls. There's an Indigenous group of girls that are out at some of the local schools.
Should be able to use Gosh's Paddock.
No. Well, I think location-wise, because this is sort of in Richmond, it's their home ground.
Yeah.
But the issue is that the local council at this point in time, and essentially the state government, are so underfunded when it comes to these infrastructure resources of female sports, because if it was the same growth in male for the junior male, we would be seeing much better attention. And I think that
Absolutely.
Has to be lifted as a priority.
Indeed it does. We need to see parity across sports.
for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.